How's everybody doing? Blessed, blessed, blessed. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that because we are blessed and we're glad to be here. I am particularly glad. I have a question that's been kind of on my mind. I'll just start with today. In this series we've been going through from the book of Philippians, last week the challenge was put out to go 24 hours without complaining or arguing. How did you do with that? You know, we're supposed to go more than 24 hours. That was just a challenge for let's have a little bite-sized thing here and see if you can make it through this, right? I had one gentleman tell me, he says, you know what, I think I can do that if I don't go to work tomorrow. He said that, and another person said, well, when does it actually officially start? Maybe I can complain for a while now and get it out of my system. But it is a difficult thing, and as we talked about last week, if nothing else, it should really make us understand how much we need to grow before we become like Christ, because that's the attitude of Christ we saw from Philippians chapter 2, is that we do everything without complaining or arguing. So I've got some growing to do. How about you? I've got some growing to do, but I'm so thankful again for God's patience, His long-suffering with me and with us all. Paul continues in chapter 3. We're going to look at a section in chapter 3 here in just a minute, beginning in verse 7. But he continues to encourage believers to be filled with all that they need to be who God calls them to be. In the process, he gives some personal testimony in chapter 3. Though he'd been a highly regarded and influential person in the Jewish ruling council, he tells us he gave all of that up for Jesus. He gave all that up to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus and to become like Jesus. I want you to consider his words. They'll be on the overhead for you from the New International Version, or you can follow along in your own personal copy of the Scripture. But in verse 7, he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He says, I consider them rubbish. The word there, you may have heard, is the idea for feces. He's saying he counts everything as something just to be walked away from, left behind. And he says, he considers that to be rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And then he says, get this, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was so focused on living for Christ and being like Christ that everything else became inconsequential to him. The things he valued before, the things he thought were so important before, they faded as far as their importance and their hold on him. The allure of things like popularity and power and prosperity, again, they faded from his view. His theme song could have been, "Give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Forget about all the rest. Just give me Jesus." That ought to be our theme song too, shouldn't it? Yet so many things in life tend to add discord to that tune resonating in our heart of just give me Jesus. That's all that I really want. Well, what kind of things? Disappointment, shattered dreams, broken promises, difficult people, unanswered questions, worry, impure desires, struggles, hardships, heartache, and on the list goes. Having said that, knowing and becoming like Christ doesn't exclude those things. I want you to understand that. Those things, they distract us, and those things, they get in the way sometimes of us focusing on being like Christ, but becoming like Christ doesn't exclude difficulties and problems and hardships. Matter of fact, what Paul's saying here, he's indicating we will not become like Christ apart from suffering, or apart from struggles, or apart from difficulties, apart from having to deal with difficult people. We won't truly become like Christ without those things happening. Why do I say that? Remember what he said here? He wanted to have this fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. Now, I want to be like Jesus. I just don't want to suffer for that to happen. I want to be like Jesus, but I want it to be snap the fingers. You know, God, just wave your hand, and I become just like him. But no, it comes through trial. It comes through living the way Jesus lived, to become just exactly like him. We're not talking about just being sinless. See, we're talking about having character, a development of our character to become like Christ. Remember, to have the attitude of Jesus we talked about last week, the week before that, about having the affection of Christ, the love of Christ. For us to really grow in those areas, to achieve those levels of being Christ-like in those areas, we have to sometimes go through struggle and difficulty. Guess what else happens in the process of that? And just amen if this is true. Just say amen, this is true. When we go through things like that, doesn't it even make us long more for God's glory? Doesn't it? When we go through those hardships, those difficulties, those struggles, it even makes us long more for the glory of being like him, of achieving that in our lives. For Christ to be our life song. Many years ago, Casting Crowns had a song, Life Song. Let my life be a life song for you. And that convicted me about, I want that to be true of me. I want my life to be a life song for God. I want it to be something that's living out a melody that he's pleased with. But for that to be the case, we need to have God pour into us a very important ingredient. And I believe that the text is going to tell us what that is. And it's perseverance. Perseverance. That's why I'm calling this lesson, Keep On Keeping On. Just keep on keeping on. Because let's hear what the Apostle Paul says later on, just in the very next verses. In verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained all this. What? Knowing Christ like he wants to? Having again this knowledge of Christ, becoming like him, sharing in all that Christ shares, having that as a reality for him. He's not obtained all this yet. He hasn't already been made perfect, he says. But what's he say? But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Get that? But one thing I do. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Then he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, God too will reveal that to you. He'll make it clear to you. See, Paul is humbly admitting that he has a way to go to become just like Jesus. That's the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I'm not there yet. I've got a way to go. You might think, well, wait a minute. If he's got a way to go, I got a long way to go. How many of you would think that? You know, if the Apostle Paul, at that point in his life, was thinking, I'm still not as much like Jesus as I need to be. I've not achieved that yet. Boy, how about us? How many of you would agree you got a way to go? We do. And it can become such a long way, we think, such a journey in our lives, and we may feel like we're so far removed from who we need to be that a tendency can be to say, it's never going to happen for me. It'll never be a reality for me. I can never be who I'm supposed to be. So we just what? Give up. We quit trying. We stop pressing on. But that's not the attitude we should have, is it? Rather than be deterred, see, Paul's determined to see the transformation brought to completion. Yet I want you to see something here. His perception is that it's going to be a cooperative effort. He's saying there, see, I want to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me for. I press on, but what is he expecting? that Christ is going to be doing the finishing work. Christ is going to be doing that. It's going to be a cooperative thing. Christ wants to lift us up to new levels. How many of you believe that today? How many of you believe, you've admitted, I think, that you're not as much like Christ as you need to be, but how many of you believe that you can achieve a new level? That Christ can lift you to a new level? That you can become more like Him than you are today? See, it's one thing to say, well, I'm not like Jesus, I'll never be like Jesus. Another thing to say, you know, I'm not like Him as much as I should be, but Christ can work in me, become more like Him every day. Every day. To have that attitude of Christ, that love of Christ, to be like Jesus. He reaches down, Paul says, to take hold of Him. And He reaches up to take hold of Christ at the same time. It's a cooperative effort. Then working together, see, Paul believed that he would achieve new heights. They would become more like Him. We need to believe that too. So much of the time, though, I'm afraid, at least in my life, I've been like dead weight. It's like I want Christ to lift me up, but I'm not willing again to take hold of Him and press on myself. I'd like to use somebody as an example here. Let me see here. Who can I use? Let me see here. So I'll pick on Bryce. I pick on Bryce a lot. Come here, Bryce. Bryce is going to be Jesus. He's got a ways to go, I know. But you know, through a heart of faith, he's Jesus. Stand right up there. I'm so much not like you. Oh, man. I got a long way to go. Help me up, would you? Would you help me up? Come on now, Jesus, come on. I want to be like you. Come on. Come on, Jesus, I know you can do it. Come on. Help me up. Help Jesus, help me. Come on. I want to be like you. I want to be so much like you. I really do. Come on, Jesus, I know you can do it. You're making progress. You're making progress. Well, here, maybe, let's try that again. Let's try that again. Okay, let's try that again. Okay. Hey, Jesus, help me out, would you? Oh, hey, hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, give Bryce a hand. Give Bryce a hand. Big difference, right? Big difference. I don't know how that's going to play out on just the audio. They're going to think, what in the world is going on there? I might have to edit that out. I don't know. But I confess, I've been like dead weight sometimes. I want Jesus to lift me up to that next level. I want Him to again change me, transform me. But I'm not willing to cooperate with Him. It's like, just do it, Jesus. No. It's not that He couldn't. I believe that He can. He can do all things. But He chooses that rather than drag us out of the pit without any effort on our part, He wants us to participate with Him. And then when we're brought to a new level, He has this to say. He warns us against backsliding. Say, you got me up some and I just went back down on the ground, didn't I? Let's try that again. You know, listen to the text. Paul says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. What are you saying, Paul? There are some slippery slopes out there, and there are people who want us to slip up. There are people who would not be willing to help us on the journey, but actually deter us. So we need to dig our heels in. We need to get a grip on what really matters and set our feet firmly on solid ground. See, that's the message of Paul here, inspired of the Spirit, isn't it? Get our focus on what really matters. What really mattered to him was being like Jesus, knowing Jesus, having fellowship with Jesus. That's what mattered more than anything in all the world. That's what he was focused on. And anything else that got in the way of that, or anybody else that would get in the way of that, he would say is caution, caution, avoid that. Get your feet firmly set, your heart set in faith, because there will be those who, rather than will encourage you, will discourage you. That's one of the purposes of the body of Christ. Did you know that, of the church? Is that we come together to be encouraged and to help each other on this journey. That our goal as leaders in the church is to help you to become more like Jesus. That's our number one goal within the body. And yes, being more like Jesus, then we'll go out into the world and we'll take light into the world and we'll take Christ in the world and we'll try to bring people in. But it's to build each other up, encouraging each other, helping us to become mature like Christ. Read that in Ephesians 4. Now, listen to Paul's next words. Speaking of the enemies of the cross, those people who would deter you, he writes this. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship, he says, that's important, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his. Once again, and I know that there are those who will look at this purely from an eschatological view, where it says, waiting for the Savior, waiting for Christ. But no matter what your view of end times might be, I'd hope that we could all agree that this present sinful world is not our eternal home. It's not. So we shouldn't be so focused on earthly things as we often are. We shouldn't be. Where should our focus be? Paul and the Philippian believers eagerly awaited the return of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When did they expect that? Soon. But why did they eagerly await his return? What was their focus? What was their desire? What did they want him to do or expect for him to do when he returned? Well, it was so they could walk streets of gold. No. Well, it was so they could float around on clouds, you know, on those wonderful blue skies. No. So all of their struggles and problems would be over? No. What was their focus? Why were they wanting him to return? Why were they eagerly awaiting his return? Well, the context tells us. So he'd finish what he started. So he would finish what he started. Way back in chapter 1, verse 6, remember that Paul said that he was confident the one who had begun a good work in them would bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. So what was their focus? What was their anticipation? What were they eagerly awaiting? Becoming just like Jesus. That was what they were eagerly awaiting. So often, you know, we think about heaven and longing for heaven or longing to be with Christ, and we're thinking about our comfort. We're thinking about the peace and the joy. And don't misunderstand me. Those things will be there. But that wasn't Paul's focus. Paul's focus was that he would be like Jesus, that the final work would be done. He would become complete in him. And he's saying that all the believers should have that same focus. I want you to think about that a minute. When you think about being with Christ, when you think about when this life is over, when you think about when your body is laid down, what are you thinking of will be the joy for you, will bring you the great reward? What will it be? Have you really thought about it being that I'm going to be just like Jesus? So Paul's saying it should be. We'll be just like him. But the idea of not just waiting and saying, okay, one day I'll be just like Jesus, but I am going to press on. working towards that goal to be like him in the now, as much as Christ will do in me, as much as he will work in me in the now, but that he will get it done. He will get it done. So when times get tough, rather than giving up, we need to give it up. What do I mean by that? We need to turn loose of whatever things are weighing us down so that Christ can lift us up. Turning loose of those things. We've got to release our grip on the things of this world so we can take hold of what God has in store for us. In the words of Elsa in Disney's Frozen, we need to let it go. Right? We just need to let it go. There's so much that we're holding on to, so much we're focused on, so much we give all of our attention, our energies to in this life that are not going to last. What Paul's saying is focus on the most important thing. And hear me, dear ones, it's not me getting to heaven. It's me being like Jesus. Romans 8, you might remember, says that God works all things to good for those who love him. And he's predestined that those who love him will be made just like his son. Just like his son. That's going to happen. The Holy Spirit puts it this way for us in a challenge in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay, so he's saying this life is a race. But what is our goal? What is our goal? What are we racing towards? Well, the Hebrew writer says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, it's not about what is our goal, it's who is our goal. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. What have you just been talking about, Paul was talking about? Is there going to be people who are going to oppose you, are going to try to deter you, try to discourage you, right? But Jesus had that too. But because of the joy set before him, he endured that opposition from sinful men. And he says, you do the same thing, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God give us a clear understanding of the glory that awaits us. And I want to clarify again that in this context, we're not talking about the heavenly glory of, you know, the pearly gates and the sea of glass. There's so many things that we fixate on and think about. Maybe what heaven will be like. The glory set before us, the glory that awaits us is to be just like Jesus. When God glorifies himself in us and we bring glory to him most, it's when we are like Jesus. As David once prayed in Psalm 51, verse 10, for God to give him a pure heart and a steadfast spirit to sustain me. That ought to be our prayer. Give me a pure heart. God, purify my heart about this. Help me to see what matters to you. Help me to see what's important to you. Help me to see what you really want to do in me. Help me to see that. Give me a pure heart. Clear out all the junk. Clear my mind of all these distractions that are there. Give me a pure heart. And then give me a steadfast spirit. Give me the resolve to be able to do what you want me to do, to live out the way you want me to live out each day, to do that. Because it's one thing to say, you know, oh, wow, I understand what you want, God. Remember, but it's another thing to say, God, your will be done in my life. Give me the resolve to do that. Help me to keep on keeping on. May the Lord fill us with what we need to persevere in life, to resolve not to give up under the trial as we wait for him to finish his work in us and through us. But again, rather than sitting idly by while we wait, may we have the attitude of Paul, actively pursuing God's righteousness, actively pursuing his purposes, Church, let's press forward to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of us for, to possess what He wants us to possess. What is that? His divine character. The attitude and the love of Christ. The perseverance of Christ, too, under trial, to be like Him. That brings glory to God. It brings glory to us. And as we will talk about next week, and we'll see from Paul, there's nothing that gives Him greater joy or us than when we get hold of that which He's taken hold of us to enjoy. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' blessed name for Your love and mercy and grace. And once again, as we've stressed so many times, for Your patience. You are so patient with us. And God, though it might seem to us at times that there are so many things that we want in life that are not bad things, but God, help us get focused on what is most important. Help us to see clearly what matters most to You and should matter most to us. And the process of that, God, I just know the more we become like Jesus, the more that everyone who knows this will be blessed. Everyone who we come in contact with will be blessed. Everyone that we have interaction with will be blessed. As we shower upon them the love of Christ, with the attitude of Christ, and that we won't give up on them either, because He hasn't given up on us. We'll have that long-suffering, that patient attitude to bear with people in love. Help us to be like Him. Thank You, God, so much that He became like us first, that He took on flesh, suffered, and died, that we can have life eternal with You, and that we can be the people You call us to be. And amen.